Journalist Richard Ben Kramer is my guest. You're kind of critical of the press corps.
Kind of.
Yeah. Well, you call a lot of the Washington press corps, you know, the reporters who cover campaigns as being character cops, character with a K.
Character with a capital K, yes, ma'am.
Capital K, yeah. What's your problem with them?
Well, my problem is they don't do the work. What they do is they take some little grape nut of a fact. You know, for instance, Gary Hart changed his name. And they will erect this into a giant superstructure on which they hang every episode of the man's life and wrap this up neatly in 40 column inches as a character study, when in fact it's nothing of the kind. Mostly what it is the same stuff that they heard from their lunch buddies at Moe and Joe's or Duke Zebert's in Washington. So I think what the essence of my problem is that the press is now a self-referential mob, and there's no individual responsibility at all. As long as you're operating in the middle of the pack mentality, you can say whatever you want about these guys really without reference to how they see themselves or how those who know them best have seen them over the years.
What do you think of the way the issue of character has been covered during this campaign?
Well, I think it isn't getting any better. I mean, you know, we know a lot more about Bill Clinton's supposed relationship with Jennifer Flowers than we know about his record as governor of Arkansas. And clearly, I mean, if you step back from it even one inch, you can see that Ms. Flowers' story, true or false, Ms. Flowers' be she liar or be she telling the truth, is certainly not much of a part of Bill Clinton's life. The man has given his life to the job that he holds in Arkansas and now to his quest for the White House. If he was messing around, he certainly didn't spend much time at it.
You've been critical of reporters who always want to know, well, what did Bush know about Iran-Contra? I'd like to know that. What's wrong with wanting to know that?
No, I wasn't really critical of the reporters who wanted to know that. I wanted to know that, too. The point that I made in a chapter about Iran-Contra is that that may be the wrong question. There are different ways of knowing in Washington, and Bush is a very subtle and practiced knower of knowledge in the Capitol. And so if he meant to know everything about the case without being culpable of actually being overtly informed, he was perfectly capable of that. There was no reason why Bush would commit the act of informing himself in an official way about the deal with Iran or the secret funding of the Contras, because neither of these matters was on his plate. The only thing he had to know as vice president was that the president was for them. After that, he could know as much as he wanted without being ever putting himself at risk of being culpable of knowing about something that could come out later.
So you think he knew enough to know what he shouldn't officially know?
Exactly. And he's a very practiced hand at this ancient Washington art.
Do you feel like you've emerged from this book any more or less cynical about the state of American politics?
Well, I'm actually a little less cynical, I think. You know, I went in with a kind of practiced and ignorant Washington view that I thought I knew these guys and they were mostly bums, you know, and my task was to find out exactly in what way they were bums. But I lost that attitude because I really marveled at the largeness of these lives and the way people changed their lives for these candidates. It was the joy of this book that almost everybody I talked to was talking about one of the most amazing men they've ever met. And whoever it was, their spouse or their companions in life had long since tired of hearing about this guy. Then comes this woolly-haired reporter who really wants to know everything. And together we're going to sit down and figure out what it is that makes this guy so amazing. So what it did was it changed my relationships from reporter to source into reporter and collaborator, or two collaborators in the search for the source of this man's power. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. You know something that I'm uncomfortable with? This whole sense of, like, who the man is and that it's not about the suits, it's not about the handlers, and it's not about, you know, all the other people in the White House. But it is, isn't it? Isn't it really also about them, too?
Well, sure, it's
hasn't politics become this kind of collaborative thing? It's more than about just the person who's running for office. It's about the people who put words in their mouths with the speeches and the people who help them decide on policies, the people who advise them, the people who plan their campaigns and tell them what to do if there's a suspicion of an affair or something, you know, who choreograph so much of it.
Yeah, well, all those people are very much a fixture in the life of these candidates. But when it comes down to it, there are episodes when every one of these candidates is out there naked.
Uh-huh.
And all he has to go back to are the events of his life as he has understood it. You know, alas, there's nothing more they can bring into the White House than their own life's method.
Okay, well, Richard Ben Cramer, thank you very much for talking with us.
Terry, thank you very much for having me on.
Richard Ben Cramer is the author of What It Takes, The Way to the White House.